Welcome to the Interactive Media Network, home of the I Am Radio TV Network. And today, we are proud to present our premier show, Interactive Interviews, where you'll hear live interviews from the Masters in Personal Development, Coaching, Psychology, and more, with your host, Jeffrey Miller, international radio host, author, hypnotist, professional speaker, and strategic interventionist. Now get ready to go interactive. Well, good afternoon to the entire world. I hope everybody is doing fantastic today. I am Jeffrey Miller, the host of the Interactive Interviews show, Call with the Masters. And today, I am so blessed to have a very special VIP with us. We have a show every month. It is exclusively for those in the industry of personal development, human needs development, that have risen with authenticity to the point of master. And it is an amazing thing that we have Christy Whitman with us. And I want to talk to you a little bit about Christy. Christy Whitman is a transformational leader, abundance coach, and a New York Times bestselling author of The Art of Having It All. She has appeared on The Today Show and The Morning Show, and her work has been featured in People Magazine, 17, Women's Day, Hollywood Life, Teen Vogue, amongst others. Christy is a CEO and founder of the Quantum Success Learning Academy and Quantum Success Coaching Academy, a 12-month Law of Attracting coaching certification program. Christy has helped thousands of people worldwide to achieve their goals through her empowerment seminars, speeches, and coaching sessions and products. Christy's life-changing messages reaches over 150,000 people a month, and her work has been promoted by and featured with esteemed authors and luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Marcy Shimoff, Brian Tracy, Neil Donald Walsh, Abraham Hicks, Louise Hay, and more. She currently lives in Montreal with her husband, Frederick, and their two boys, Alexander and Maxim. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Christy Whitman to the show. How are you?
How are you, Christy?
I'm great, Jeffrey. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for joining us.
I choose for us to have fun today. I think the best thing that everybody can think of is when you're doing something and asking to talk with folks and questions, et cetera, is to have fun.
Agreed.
And
yes.
Yes.
So there are a lot of years of experience in this business. And it is amazing when I read the book, The Art of Having It All. All that you have been through and all that you have done to achieve where you are today. And it is very impressive.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Folks are going to want to call in, I'm sure. And I will get that number out to you guys very quickly here. And that said, I thought we'd start with some questions and we'll bring people up to speed on who you are and what things you do.
Sounds good.
So one of the things I love is the term abundance coach. But a lot of people don't really know the difference between abundance and more money, and how you coach people to do that. What would you say to them, Christy?
Well, you know, abundance is one of those words that it does. People refer to, oh, abundance, that means money. When it actually is, yes, it is part of money, but it's also so much more. It's literally, it's tapping into a reliable source, a stream of energy that is always in a feel-good place, that always feels like joy, that brings you a lot of patience and money and opportunities and kindness and love and just more of all good things that continues to forevermore expand because this universe and that energy doesn't know any limits. So no matter if someone's looking for a deeper, profound connection and love, that is available in this universe. And the more you have a deeper, profound connection with yourself and expand into that and rely on that energy stream, that's what actually produces and shows up in your life. Same thing with money. When you tap into the realization that the source that literally creates everything is the giver of life of everything, knows no lack, and you're tapped into that stream of abundance, then you start to see evidence of money in your life in levels of abundance. And it's up to us as human beings to realize, when are we constricting or when are we expanding? Because if we're constricting, we're in lack and we're cut off from that abundance flow.
Wow, amazing. Wow. This reminds me of something a dear friend of ours was in the movie The Secret. And I'm referring to our friend Bob Doyle, amongst others that you know and I know. And The Secret was quite amazing in that when Rhonda Byrne put that all together, the book and then the movie, a lot of people said that it left a lot unanswered. And we're talking about the secrets of creating more abundance. It kind of follows suit with the laws of the universe, which you were just talking about. So how do you specifically support people becoming more abundant?
Well, I got to say, and I love that you brought up The Secret, because what is such a gift. I mean, I was, you know, practicing and working with universal laws before The Secret came out. And I actually was coaching people before The Secret came out. And the conversation was really a lot about educating and just trying to get people to believe in this thing called law of attraction. And what's happened since that wave of consciousness went over our planet through those wonderful people that were in the movie, as our friend Bob Doyle and all the other many amazing people, you know, there's this new awareness on the planet because of that movie, because of the words that were said. And yet it was a movie that was, you know, an hour and 20 minutes, and you cannot tell all the universal laws and how to absolutely navigate through each law, especially law of attraction, in an hour and 20 minutes. Just impossible. And so it was a beginning. It was a breakthrough. And there's so much more depth, because there's more and more and more to the universe that we live in. So one of the things that I have realized in my 20 years of working with universal laws is that there are 7 true essential laws. And when you practice these 7, it takes years of mastery. It takes applying it to each and every point of your life and each piece of contrast that shows up, whether it's you're not creating the business that you want, or you're not attracting the clients that you want, or you're not attracting the money or the man or whatever it is. All of those are opportunities to practice and apply it, and you'll be amazed to see what happens when we get out of the old way of conditioning to kind of work and play with life. So it's a very different way of life.
Well, I love that description. That is elegant.
That is elegant.
I believe what you said is so true. Everybody looked at that movie and said, well, it didn't tell me anything. I skirted the surface. I don't understand. I tried it. It doesn't work. Where is how you've expressed it. You've got to, first of all, you need a friendly belief. If you are in lack, if you're lacking that thought process, to want to believe, then you won't receive. And I think a lot of people just skirted over it like, well, I can try this because it says I'm going to do it and I'm going to manifest a million dollars. It'll be here next month. When in fact that doesn't work. So it belongs to both. Typically
there's a little more work to do than just visualize something and then money bags fall on your head. You know, that is possible in this universe. I mean, there are some people that probably had that channel that just boom can, you know, make that happen. It's a very rare individual if it does. Most of us have conditioning and things that we have to let go of. And I know one thing in all the work that I've done, and one of the most powerful laws in the universe is the law of sufficiency and abundance. And in any way, shape, or form, if you are in lack or in limitation and you are disconnected from that flow of abundance, abundance cannot flow into your life. How do you know if you're in lack? You always feel bad. It just feels bad. How do you know you're in abundance? Because it feels good. It feels expansive. And that's how I know for myself. That's how I know for my clients. they're just vibrating in the wrong place. Because, you know, as a human being, I learned this from Mary Morrissey, and it kind of, you know, again, this is like my training of all the different people I've learned from and applied what they taught, is that, you know, we cannot not think. Like, we are human beings, and we have been given this tool set of thinking and choosing to, you know, have our energy go in the direction that we want and feel the way we want to feel and create the results that we want in our lives. We have that free will to do that. But the thing is, we cannot not think. Like, if you tried to just not think, it doesn't work. As human beings, we were endowed with this gift of thinking. So we can either use it for our benefit and move in the direction of where we want to go, or we can stay stuck in our conditioning and what our parents told us was possible, or our teachers told us was possible, or our best friends with the best intentions thought possible. Are you contracting, or are you expanding? Are you in a space of alignment with abundance, or are you in a space of contraction with lack?
Wow, fantastic.
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 You know, I'm going to move a little bit into, so folks understand more of who you are, Christy, as well, and where you started and how you started, because where we're at is a point of everybody listening to about abundance, about the law of attraction, et cetera. You at some point in your career had to, you know, move into this belief structure. And I love that you said the vibration, because the universe is all about vibration. And many, many, many people probably don't think about that. Everything, you know, we are energy, and energy is vibration, which is an amazing thing and a big subject all by itself. But, you know, I'm very intrigued after reading the book. And of course, I personally more or less understand the answer to the question I'm going to ask you. But how did you get, if you would give us an explanation, how did you get from where you were back then to where you are today?
Well, you know, I just had a lot of dissatisfaction in my life. And I was, you know, I kind of got the things in life that, you know, I had the career going. I was making good money. I wasn't making great money, but I was doing well in my career, doing well in my weight. My relationships with men were really bad because I would always attract just the totally wrong kind of guy. And they never lasted. But I had like some success, you know, financially, that kind of thing. But I was really in a lot of pain inside. And I just felt like I was never enough. I didn't do enough. I didn't make enough. I didn't accomplish enough. The guys I was with, no wonder they were, you know, hard relationships, because they could never be enough. Everything was coming from lack of limitation. And one thing that I was definitely missing and I was in lack of is my connection to some form of source, you know, the infinite, the creator, the I am. Mm-hmm. And in my search, which I could only come from my limited perspective, but was go back to the Catholic Church, which I was raised in and gained, you know, some type of sense of spirituality as I was growing up. But I felt very empty, like this just isn't speaking to me. And in that longing, there was such a longing in me with such a deep intention to connect to something, to feel somehow connected to something bigger than myself, because I wasn't finding it. And with all the events that happened, I ended up moving from Chicago to California and for the latest bad guy. And so I found myself in California. I had quit my job because I absolutely couldn't do it anymore. I was working for a wine company. I was about $60,000 in credit card debts, single. I was living in a room in this one woman's house that was a very, very bizarre woman. Very bizarre. That's all I'm going to say. She was very bizarre. But I rented a room in this house from her. And I also gained about 30 pounds. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I just, you know, every aspect of my life completely just, it was not a level of success that I wanted. It was definitely in a place of not having what I wanted. And I met a woman who connected me with my inner self and connected me with the language, the first person to ever speak to me about your thoughts create your reality, or your thoughts are either magnetic or they're repelling, you know, things like that. And it so rang true to me. So what do we do in any type of personal growth? The first thing for a change is having awareness. And so because I started to then pay attention, because it became important to me, because I just learned, hey, if this is true, I don't know if it's true, this teacher says it's true. There's other books that say it's true, that your thoughts create your reality. Oh my gosh.
Right.
So what am I thinking? If this is true, what am I thinking? And I couldn't believe the thoughts that I was saying to myself, about other people. It was all in lack and limitation. And so thought by thought, belief by belief, you know, emotion by emotion, I started deliberately choosing how I wanted to feel. And as we were talking, and yes, we could go on and on about energy and vibration.
Right.
But it really is all about that. It's what are we what signals are we sending out from our human perspective? You know, what signals are we sending out into this vibratory universe that only knows vibration? It's going to mask and get everybody and coordinate everything that's in that same vibrational frequency into our existence from based on what are we asking for through our vibrations. And it was just amazing because like 5 years later, I found myself, you know, married with a really amazing guy, nice guy. Finally, I got a nice guy. Someone committed and loyal and just a sweetheart of a person. And I was living in this house and I had a stepson and I had money in the bank and I was completely out of debt and I was in my little size 4 body. I'd lost 30 pounds plus, you know, it was like all these aspects of my life were working. And I felt like, wow, you know, just from applying this information. And then people started seeing what my life was starting to unfold like and how I was manifesting things like magic, like jobs out of the air. Like, I think I want more money in a smaller territory. And boom, I'd have a headhunter call me and say, you got to interview for this job. You know, oh, no, I'm not. I'm happy. And they're like, no, listen, this is your. And I would go and it'd be like better money, better territory, better boss. You know, it just kept getting better and better. So I started coaching people, and it was around that time that I became, had my first book that came through me. I became an author. And as soon as I started speaking on what the topics in my book, people in the seminars that I was doing at like spiritual bookstores and new thought bookstores and spiritual new thought churches, people would ask me to coach them. And I had no idea there was this thing called coaching, like life coaching, no idea this even existed. And so I fell in love with it, and I got my own coach and started seeing, you know, changes in my own life. And so here I am 20 years later, and I have a multi-million-dollar business where I get to help people do what I love doing, and that's coaching and training coaches. I have a husband who we are both on our growth path, and no, it is not perfect, but it's perfectly perfect together. And two awesome kids and who are just human beings that I love being with. And, you know, I'm pretty healthy in my little 4 body still, and just feel good about life, feel very connected. So, yeah, it's one thought at a time, Jeffrey, one thought at a time.
You know, folks listening, I want you to really take in what Christy just said, because a lot of people will shake their head and say, no, that's not me. But let's remember some very immortal words. And Christy has said it in many different ways. You become what you think and then what you believe, because the more you put yourself into a situation of saying, no, I can't be that, no, I can't do that, the more your unconscious mind is going to believe you. In fact, then you create a habit, and that habit follows you the rest of your life. And when it speaks to you from the unconscious, when you don't even realize it, because you'll go to do something positive to make a change in your life, and the next thing you know, boom, you flatten your face. Like a New Year's resolution that everybody's talking about. And that's a crazy thing, because without changing the habit unconsciously, it's never going to change consciously. And there's a little expression, the definition of insanity. Is to do the same thing day in and day out, expect things to change. So if you don't get a great coach and you don't receive the help and you don't believe that you're worthy of it, and you're not vibrating in that area, then you're not going to change. And that's basically, I believe, what Christy's saying to you right now. And it's such wonderful, beautiful information, Christy. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Thank you, Jeffrey. It's my path. And that's why, you know, I think, you know, one of the reasons I've been successful as a coach, and I see this with coaches I train and, you know, and mentor on a really high level, is that I have 100% belief in coaching and in mentorship because I know what it's done in my life. I know that, you know, just even getting one idea from coaching or from someone that I'm mentoring with has completely, I could think of so many different one ideas that I've received from amazing coaches that I've had, whether it's in business or speaking or, you know, spirituality in my personal, like in my body as like a, you know, personal trainer. I mean, all these mentors are teaching me things along the way and they have information that I don't know that I don't even have because there's things I don't even know that I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know what we don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely, I will always have a mentor. I will always have someone that's done what I want to do or is doing what I want to do or has experienced or created something that I want to have because I believe that they have a shortcut in showing me the way to get to where I want to go. So I have such a, I know the value of coaching and what it's done for my life and what I've seen it do for so many people's lives that I just have such a conviction that it's easy for me to attract clients because I believe so much in this industry of coaching.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, that's fantastic. 100% agree with you on that. And it is when I finally realized about 6 years ago that I had some stuff going on in my life that I wasn't happy with. Oh, I made a lot of money. I was a multi-business owner, entrepreneur. I'd always done well with that, it seems, because I put my nose to it and I got it done. But there was just something missing, and it was in my relationships as well, Christy. As you said, you were attracting the wrong people. I went through a succession of it for years, right? And then once I was in the relationship, I said, hey, I got to stick with this. I'm like glue, you know, I'm not the quitter. I've got to help this person change their mind, or maybe it's my fault. I had a belief structure that said maybe it was my fault until I started working with Tony Robbins. And once I started working with Tony,
and went through his entire training program,
and I only did it to help me. I never thought that I was going to become a coach, and the coach would become me. It's quite amazing how that happens, as in your situation as well. I find something very interesting when I read the book, and it was pretty. It was up front, actually, and you went to a media event summit, actually, in New York, where you met with dozens of TV, radio producers, et cetera, all looking for experts in various fields to write feature articles, et cetera. And you met with a lady who told you something that day. Absolutely amazed me, as it did you, what she told you. Could you reiterate that to our
folks listening?
I would be so happy to, because this is such a subject that I can't even believe that we have this kind of conversation or that we tell people this.
Exactly.
So yes, I was at a conference and, you know, it's one of those things. Steve Harrison and Bill Harrison, they do a publicity summit once a year in New York. Fantastic. You get to meet with all sorts of different, you know, producers of TV shows. It could be cable all the way to, like, you know, the folks of The View. So it's like really wide spectrum of TV shows, magazines, radio shows, you know, all these different things, and even freelance writers. So I'm standing in line about to, you know, pitch someone because they teach you how to do like a minute and 20-second pitch because you don't get a lot of time with producers. So I'm waiting in line to pitch someone and I see this woman is alone by herself and it says a freelance writer for New York Magazine. So I thought, oh my God, I got the perfect pitch because I was promoting my other book,
right,
Taming Your Alpha Bitch at the time. And so I walked up to her and I said, what do all New York women want? And she said, what? And I said, they want it all. And she immediately was just like, women can't have it all. We have got to get real. We've got to start kidding ourselves. You've got to read this book called Such and Such, which I'm not even going to recommend because that just hit. That book was like ridiculously pissing me off as I read it. But she was like, we all think we can have it all and we got to get real and lower our expectations and we're exhausted, we're overwhelmed. So she handed me back my one sheet and she said, do you know anybody that has it all? And I said, I know a lot of people. I said, and I'm one of them. So I started telling her all the different ways that I have it all in my life, how I personally define it. And she goes, I don't need to talk to you. I don't believe you can have it all. And I looked at her and I said, and there lies the problem. There's the problem. So So I just like turned on my little high heels and walked away. And I had the, I think, I don't know if it's the Italian or the passion for this work or whatever came out of me, but it was like, I was so mad. I walked back up to my, my assistant and I'm like, she just told me that women can't have it all. And it was like, there was this pulsation that was like this burning desire being birthed in me. It's like, well, I can't believe people are saying this. So I started writing feverishly and just like couldn't stop writing. I mean, just all this information was coming from me. And I decided to do the research and buy the book that this woman had recommended. And I was reading it and I would get so infuriated that there's a woman who is this high, you know, in the authority at a pristine college for young girls, who's got a marriage, who has got, has three children, you know, has success, telling young girls they can't have it all. So they need to choose, have a career or go get a family, but you need to choose because you can't have it all. I'm like, are we back in like the 30s or the 40s or something?
I don't mean to be laughing. Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
But I'm like, that's the that's what you write a book and you put that out there telling young girls or anybody of any kind that they can't have it all. My thing is, I have my it and my all. You don't know what that is for you. It's not the same for every person.
No,
how
right.
Who is anybody to tell anybody who can create what? I mean,
that's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
And
then, ridiculous.
And it's funny, and this is only a couple of weeks ago. This topic ignites people, and it's crazy. I was doing a show with Kelly Sullivan Walden a couple of weeks ago, she was doing like a Facebook Live afterwards, and the guy, I don't know who he is, he was videotaping her. He's like, you know, this conversation about having it all just pisses me off because it's really young, immature teacher that would be professing that you could have it all. And, you know, it's just a really limited view and we should just be happy with what we have. And I'm like, wow, because as far as I know, in the connection that I know, yes, the doorway through abundance is complete satisfaction. You cannot reach abundance. It's not the law of abundance. It's a law of sufficiency and abundance. So you have to feel that what you have is sufficient, but there is a pulsating life that pulsates through each and every one of us, through our cells, through our organs, and it's always wanting to create. It is a creator. It is the creator. It pulsates through us. It's always wanting to expand, and it does that by giving us an idea, and then we get this desire. And then
right,
the desire,
right.
It's like it comes out. It's like we cannot not do something because we're so inspired. Are we supposed to not create something now because someone told us we can't have it all?
Has anybody noticed the level of passion that Christy has for this? I mean, really.
Really.
This is awfully fantastic. You know,
you hit some serious points there.
You know, when I first went to Disney years ago, and I went through the land of imagination. You know, it's all And I thought about that back then, and I've recently thought about it again, talking about imagining to do with our mind, because the reality we create is from our imagination, and you just hit on that. And if you want to expand your life, expand your mind, expand your imagination. Everything that is anything known to mankind on this planet came from an imagination, from a thought. Think about it. Aircraft, telephones, the computer, the radio we're on today, everything. So Christy's 100% right, plus, plus, plus. Why can't you have more? Shall you choose to expand your horizons, imagine, bring a thought to focus, work on it, stick with it, and the universe is going to provide. And people say that's bunk. It's not really bunk, because if you say it's bunk, you don't
believe. You don't believe.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny too, Jeffrey, because yes, I am very passionate about this subject. And when the book came out, I didn't want it to be just me with this voice. So I interviewed 165 people, and there are top people from Marianne Williamson to Mary Morrissey to Bob Proctor to Laura Langmire to, I mean, you just name the person, Jack Canfield, Joe Vitale, I mean, all the people in The Secret, John Gray. All these top people, plus celebrities, asking them, how do you define having it all? Do you believe it's possible to have it all? What is your definition of it? What does that mean to you? What is your it? What is your all? And not one of them, all of them said, of course you can have it all. And every single person had their definition of what having it all is. It was completely different. had 165 different answers. Some of them, of course, were the same. And, you know, I asked what's your process to getting to that place of feeling like you already have it all?
Right.
Great processes. But it's a movement. And it's not just me thinking this. It's the, like you said, it's the people that went before us. It's like the Napoleon Hills and the Andrew Carnegies and the, Thoreaus and the Henry Fords and, you know, all these men that were successful. They had a different way of thinking.
They did. And they were called crazy. They were lunatics.
That was back then.
So I wanted to. Just a quick break. I want to make sure folks have the number to call in. We have call-in lines available. 657-383-1534. And I'll repeat that again. 657-383-1534. That is U.S. and Canada, folks. Unfortunately, it doesn't expand to the rest of the globe. So go ahead, Chris.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
that's totally okay.
I actually have one to talk about. And in reading the book, I found it amazing. I love reading books. And I'm not a reader. People say, well, readers are leaders. I am a leader.
I do read the books.
I honestly would rather listen to them with my eyes closed or relaxed.
Yours, I read.
Thank you.
And I got to get to this part. You had a friend over Mark. And you told him that because there is no end to the universe we live in, There is no end to the possibilities that we can create for ourselves or our lives. What was that like to a child about this subject?
Oh, it's amazing because they are still connected with their imagination. I mean, just my own two sons.
Exactly.
I did something the other day. It was so much fun just to play with them. When I was a kid, I'm sure all of us heard this: money doesn't grow on trees. Right.
We heard it.
Yeah. And I was so defiant with my mom because it was like, Mom, technically money does grow on trees. I kind of had a little attitude when I was a kid, but I was like, because, you know, money is paper and paper comes from trees. So technically money actually does come from trees.
Oh, that's good.
I like that.
I didn't want to hear that. Right. So I've told that story to my kids and we even have a money tree in our house and that sort of thing. So my son was wanting the keys. We were at a soccer game. He wanted the keys to the car, and my husband was just kind of teasing with him, and he says, it's going to cost you. I'm going to need $5,000. And so my son goes and grabs a big leaf underneath the tree, and he goes and hands it to my husband. And he goes, yeah, you're going to need to learn how to try and turn that leaf into money. And so I said, I can do it. I'm an alchemist. They said, give me the leaf, right? And so I put it in my hands and I'm like cupping it and kind of babying it. And I kept looking and I'm like, not yet. I said, it probably needs a little bit more time. So I said, I'm going to put it in my back pocket. And I said, we'll see what happens later. So, you know, we're all getting ready for bed. And all of a sudden my son, Alex, he remembers, he goes, hey, mommy, what happened to that leaf? And I go, I don't know. My pants are over there. Go grab them. They're in the laundry. So he goes and he's looking through each of the pockets and he pulls out a dollar. The leaf is gone and the dollar is there. I have never heard a kid so giddy. He was like,
oh, wow.
I mean, just, you know, so excited. And he turns around and he goes, I'm going to need 5,000 more. So funny.
That's all right.
That is so good.
But their imagination is so, you know, like they do believe in so many possibilities. And it's us that tell them, again, like that woman, you can have it all, or you can have it all, or you can achieve what you want, or who you'd achieve what you want, or who the heck do you think you are? You know, and we hear that, unfortunately. And now knowing what we know, more people knowing that we create our own reality and our thoughts are things and that what we believe will expand, you know, hopefully we're not telling our kids things that are disempowering them, like they can't do something or that they're this or that, you know, labeling them, they're not a good kid, they're a bad boy, you know, these kind of things, because that's what programs us.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing you brought that up, because as a coach myself, for six years
full-time now.
I have to say that the majority of my clients that I work with
actually
is what we deal with. In human needs development,
and that is the fact that low self-esteem seems to be rampant
in a lot of adults these days. And it falls to exactly what you're talking about. What happened during the growing and the learning years. And when I bring them into regression therapy in the session, and they go back. They actually see themselves at the age that this stuff happened. And it is amazing.
Everybody is unique
in their thoughts and what they bring forward to work with. Most people are the same. That we all come from the same place where we were taught by parents. And all that said, we develop habits. As children, when we grow out of the wild-eyed learning experience, thinking we can do everything as kids, to becoming and facing the reality that we can't. Because we're told we can't.
Right. And that is a sad thing that society has done that.
But it is why a lot of folks really do need to work with a great coach.
100% agree.
Get through that stuff and get your life on track. Your belief structure, the way you need to be. And you'll see the change, like wow. So I don't see we have any calls yet. I'll say the number again, 657-383-1534. And if you are sitting back listening, you have a question for Christy, please call. The switchboard is active and alive and waiting for you. And if not, you have questions for later. We will give you the contact information on Christy as well. So getting back to our beliefs, Christy. How do our beliefs create the amount of abundance we create? And more importantly, how can we change these beliefs as we've been talking about? What focus do you put on? So that we can create more, because we all want.
Yes, we definitely all want to, you know, create a different life. We all have different things in our life. That's what I like to call contrast. So things that we don't want, situation, maybe it's a relationship's not the way we want it to be, or there's certain patterns that continue to show up in the relationship. The lack of money or the lack of opportunities in our career, whatever it is, there's some type of burning desire that we have to fix something or have more or change something, or there's a problem. A lot of people are living in the problem of life, which is contrast. And when we can shift into abundance, meaning one mindset of abundance is knowing that there are so many different possibilities or solutions to any given problem or contrast that shows up. So someone in a lack mentality would be in the place of looking at the problem and, oh, the Chicken Little, the sky is falling, you know.
Right, and they stay in that mindset
of, here's the problem, let me talk about it forever, let me go to therapy about it, let me just, you know, kvetch to all my friends. And it's like they stay stuck in the same vibration that they created the problem in. When we have to go and shift into a different vibration, I think Einstein said you can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we have to then look at, okay, what do I want instead? You know, what would I love to have? What would feed me? You know, different questions so that you can then focus on a different reality and start vibrating in a different way. And at that point, different solutions will come, or different opportunities, or even just different ideas will come. But that's just the difference between shifting from a lack to abundance. So the way you actually shift a belief is you find yourself in these different paradigms, if you will. Okay, wait, I'm totally stuck in the problem. I'm in lack right now. And that comes with awareness. You have to know, you know, what really is like the lack mindset? You know, what is the abundant mindset? How do you know if you're in abundance, or how do you know if you're in lack? And that takes awareness. That takes, you know, I happen to have a course called the Abundance Course that teaches that. But like one thing is that, you know, when you walk into a situation, are you looking at everything that's really good and right? Or are you programmed to look for what's wrong and bad? And, you know, there's so many people that have that perspective, is that they're going to find what needs to be fixed or what this problem is. And that's the thing they fixate on. That's really coming from a lack mentality versus someone that is appreciative and grateful and can see the good. Now, you know, notice, yeah, that might be broken or that might not be working the best, but it's like, that's not the thing that completely consumes their attention. It's all the good things. So that's one more way of thinking of abundance and lack, but it literally is being aware. You have to be aware of what the difference is and then choose. We can't just, you know, we have to be able to choose something different than like just letting go of something. So when something has to die in order for something to be planted, right? So a lack thought or perspective has to be released in order for us to attune to a new level of abundance. And as we kind of started this conversation, you know, it is about energy. It is about finding the flow and the feeling sense and the energy of abundance and choosing that. And you always know you're in that space if you feel good. So beliefs are changed actually as paradigms are made aware of, and then a different choice is made in those moments. It shifts the energy, it pops the energy. And, you know, does it happen just one time? No. It's either a very repetitive thing or there's something that really impacted your life that made you shift in a big way. And typically for most of us, in order to change a belief, it's that repetition and having to catch it, be mindful of it, and then choosing to deliberately, you know, create or think the way you want to think.
Excellent. I talk to my clients, as coaches, as you know, at least twice as much as we speak, and I do love to talk. That said, I will say to my client, you know, that sounds like a lot of BS. Well, typically people think of BS as bullshit, you know. But the BS I'm talking about is belief systems or their belief structure.
I love it.
What they've learned from children to the age they are now. The stuff that became habits. And again, it comes back to that same expression. We don't know what we don't know until we finally know it.
Yep.
And how do you learn it?
How do you learn it?
Get a great coach.
Get a great coach.
Exactly.
Listen to what Christy's saying. Work with a coach like myself and the numerous coaches in the organization. Some whom I know personally, great coaches. Who, in fact, folks, I said previously, I had some stuff to overcome. Therefore, I started working with myself as a mentor. And I learned what I needed to learn, how to change my thought process. And he did it with what we call a pattern interrupt.
You work and you live in patterns.
Your mind works and lives in patterns. And when you change that, all of a sudden you get an interrupt. And it becomes a strong enough belief to decide, hey, if I do this and follow what this coach is saying, I can change and I can have what I want in my life.
It is a fact.
And so many people got to start to realize that when you do, your life changes exponentially. And Chrissy's proven it. She did it herself years ago. She would not be on this show today if she had not.
I'm still doing it. Jeffrey, I don't know about you. Yeah, exactly. I think that's a myth, you know, that people think, oh, coaches have this perfect life. They never have anything they have to work on. You know, they never have any issues, or if the expectation is that if a coach does have issues in their life, well, they can't be a very good coach because this person has, you know, something going on. And the fact of the matter is that, hello, we're human too. And we've always got stuff to work on. And the bigger our visions and the more that we connect and the more aware that we become, it's like we even have to be more aware. I love Abraham Hicks when they say that, you know, like you get in a car and it goes about 30 miles per hour and it hits a tree, not going to be that big of impact. But if you're going 100 miles an hour and you get in a car and you go, you know, you hit a tree, there's going to be a much more impact.
Major impact. That's right.
And when you start to refine your thoughts and get into a high vibration, when you get out of that vibration, stuff happens. As you grow and expand in consciousness, stuff comes up. But it's what you do with the stuff that comes up.
Exactly why we need coaches.
Exactly.
You know, people who said, I don't think I need a coach. And I said, well, why would you say that?
Why would you say that?
Well, I think I can
list my own.
Okay. If you wanted to play a sport. Football, hockey,
basketball,
whatever.
Whatever.
Would you go on to a
team that has no coach?
No.
Of course not. Of course not.
Well, then why would
you not think you utilize a coach for your mind?
To improve your life.
To improve your life.
To change that stuff that's kicking your butt.
Kicking your butt.
And all of a sudden,
the lights go on.
Oh.
That's
what it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
A coach is a coach.
But there's different levels.
There's
the experience of the person who's
a coach
that has put
in their time and their investment
into hiring a coach themselves to bring themselves to that upper level of reality.
You know, Jeffrey,
go ahead.
You just said something that really strikes me because, you know, whether we like it or not, every industry has really awesome top people, and then they've got people that are not so great.
Correct.
So just
because someone is a
coach doesn't mean that they're the best coach. So, but one way that you know if you have a good coach that you're going to work with is ask them the question, do you yourself work with a coach? If someone is a coach and they themselves don't consistently on a regular basis work with a coach, I would go find one that does.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yep. I
learned that.
It wasn't something specifically taught to me, but I recognized from my youth I had to follow the masters. And the masters taught me, shall I choose to my head and listen? I learned the trade.
I learned the trade.
You know, from construction to whatever it was
my business was in the past.
Well, coaching is no different.
Exactly.
To become a great coach, you need to have a great coach.
Sometimes, two, three, four, and five.
I have three coaches I work with.
Yeah, I have three right now.
I have three right now myself.
And on different levels.
And,
yeah.
One for my mentorship,
to personal development,
continuing on that.
As you said, the more we learn, we rise to a different elevation.
The more questions come up, the more we need help as well.
Absolutely.
Perfect. So there's a lot of questions that I get asked as a coach, getting back to the Wanda quote. There will never be another you. There will never be anyone exactly like you. With your experiences,
your perspective,
your thoughts and your ideas. I love that expression. Because that tells the uniqueness that each person in this universe, in this world, has that we know. The humankind, anyway. And each one of you out there listening to this today and later in the archives,
think about that for yourself.
First of all, get this book. I've got to say that, the art of having it all. And it is a woman's guide to abundance. And I appreciate that, Christy, but
I think guys need to read this too.
You know what, Jeffrey? I 100% agree with you. The thing is that, you know, when they tell you, okay, who's the book for? It's like, you've written books for women, write this for a woman. I'm like, okay, because most of the people in personal development, at least the ones that are in my audience, are women. I've got about 20% people that are men then, but they all have read it and they all have benefited from it. They're universal laws. It's universal principles that are, you know, for every single person, regardless where we live, whether what sex we are. So the stories I tell are more from a woman to women, but men can certainly understand the stories as well.
True, because I did.
Yeah.
And I didn't even look at the bottom at the beginning. And I just read the book.
I loved it.
Thank you.
So speaking of women, particularly to women in that sense. What are some of the most common beliefs that limit women in particular?
Well, one in particular is that we have to give everything we have and not take care of ourselves.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know where we've gotten that, but that needs to be immediately changed, because we can't give what we don't have. And most of us, you know, I get the perspective from that freelance writer that was talking to me saying women are overworked, they're exhausted. You know, yeah, that's true. Some are, not all of them, but some of them are. And, you know, when you're coming from a place where you're just constantly giving all that you got and you don't take time to fill up yourself, you're giving from an empty well. And it doesn't mean you have to be completely, totally selfish and do everything for yourself all the time, but connecting and meditating for 15 minutes a day just to connect you with the bigger I, that is a huge difference of the source that you're then tapped into that you can then give from and give to. And that's a big one, as I see, is that women think, oh, I can't do anything for myself. I can't go take a massage once a week. I can't, you know, do something. You know, and that's, I think, a really big mistake. I think the other big thing that we've been programmed is along the same lines, but it's please everybody before you please yourself. So we learn how to say yes when we mean no, and we learn how to say no, you know, yes when we mean yes, but we have a hard time saying no, because we don't want, nobody likes to hear the word no. You know, as children, we never like to hear the word no. And we into our adult lives, we still don't want to hear the word no. For selling something, for a salesman, we don't want to hear no. Take no for an answer, you know. We don't want to hear no.
And, Absolutely correct.
You know, and we don't want the impact and what comes along with a no. So if I say no, you're now disappointed. And now I've got to wait for your reaction, you know. But when we're always so hypervigilant and looking outside of ourselves and trying to figure out what everybody else wants and feels, we're totally disconnected from ourselves. And sometimes it's a no, and that's okay. And the other person just has to figure out what else to do. The maturity comes in the other person of what do they do with that no. But if something, what I learned from one of my mentors, Karen Lamarck Wilson, is that if there's a little tiny no, it's a no. And it doesn't have to be a no, you know, that just won't work for me. You know, thank you for the offer, but I think I'm going to pass. You know, that sounds like a really great opportunity, but I'm absolutely tapped out right now. I just cannot right now. You know, you can do it in a very loving way, but doing it in a way that we're coming from ourselves to ourselves and connected and being true and real and authentic.
Absolutely correct. I agree with you. It brings me to a metaphor that I tell my clients when we get into this thing about I don't know how to say no. They don't understand that. I'm not going to do it because of guilt or whatever. And I tell a story about a village. And the village has one well in the center of it. And everybody goes from their home every day, sometimes twice a day, dips their bucket down the well, fills the bucket up, and brings it home. So the family has water. Now, if the evening didn't come and the sun didn't go down, and people didn't stay at home, there's a good opportunity that well would run dry. And I want people to consider that. If you are that well. And you think you can continually give, without taking an opportunity to replenish yourself and feel your soul being able to say no, just like the well at night. I'm not going to give up any water because I won't have any for you tomorrow. And it's really a little metaphor to understand exactly what Chrissy's doing when I do it with my client. And once you understand that, you will come to a conscious understanding that you can say no. And it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's really where it's at. It's like breathing. We have to receive in, and then we have to give out. It's never about take to breathe out, never to breathe in. There's so many people that take, you know, give that they won't allow themselves to receive. It's both and. So, but we also have to have the breath in. We also have to give it to ourselves too, to be able to then send it back. It's energy. energy flows. Energy flows in, it flows out. It flows up, it flows down. You know what I mean? It's got a rhythm to it. And we have to be able to do both.
Exactly, Christy.
Exactly, Christy.
So we got about five minutes of show time.
We've been having fun.
Yes.
And we've had a great conversation today, and I know and that I know you have that a special offer for our listeners. And I haven't missed it because I wanted them to stay right here.
And listen to and take in and feel everything that you have to share today.
So let's move towards your special offer. And we will be publishing a link on the page, the IMG Network. And Chris, you'll have it up soon, I'm sure. But you can go to the link to the show and you'll see it right at the close of the show. Right shortly thereafter, we will be there so you can take part in this. So let's talk about that, Chris.
Absolutely. Well, I'm giving away an amazing webinar. It's about a 90-minute webinar, and it really helps people get in touch with the fact that they don't have to create by default. They can deliberately choose the life that they want and actually have it all in all aspects of their life, whether it's their bodies, their finances, their careers, their relationships, their spiritual connection. Every aspect of their lives, with travel, I mean, doesn't matter. Anywhere they want to create something different or new or up-level their lives, they can deliberately choose to do that. And there's a three-part process that I teach during the webinar to help you be able to do this on a consistent basis with every aspect of your life. And it's really about, you know, our friend Tony Robbins and, what's his name? The Seven Habits of Success.
Stephen Covey, so they say
think with the end in mind. So if you already are connected with the future self that is already living the life that you want, experiencing the visualizations that you have, and, you know, really feeling and connecting, you know, with that part of you, you are going to create it with ease and with effortlessness and grace. And so it's not just woo-woo. It is actually repeatable. It is, you know, if you do what I say in this webinar, it will help you change so many aspects of your life. So I am giving that away to your listeners for free.
Perfect. Guys, take advantage of that. As I said, the link will be published right at the end of the show. Go right to the link to listen to the show today. As far as archives, callers, what do you think? How long will this offer be open? Until the webinar?
Yeah, it'll be there, and it gives different times. So if someone, checks it in a month from now, they can choose different times. There's always webinars going on.
Perfect. It reminds me of interaction, utterance. I love how you put that, by the way.
You want me to go over that real quick?
Yeah, we can.
We've got just a couple minutes. Sure.
Okay. Well, we've been talking about it the whole time. People think of action as outer action, meaning strategies and doing things. And yes, we are absolutely human beings. We need to take action in this physical world. And that's one thing I think that the criticism of The Secret gets, we mentioned that earlier, is that, you know, oh, they don't talk about taking action. I think they do. It's a very small part, but we have to take action. Just doing action alone in the physical world is going to get you results. We're human. But there's also interaction, and that is aligning, and that is doing the inner work like we're talking about in the privacy of your own mind, choosing the thoughts that you want to think, vibrating the place you want to vibrate in. Shifting the paradigms from lack to abundance when you're aware of them. All of that inner work produces a result far greater than just doing outer action alone. And there's actually studies by scientists, and latest one I've heard is that Jack Canfield says that 1 hour of inner work is like worth 7 hours of outer work. So it doesn't mean meditating all day for an hour. It means every time you catch yourself, you know, shifting from a lack thought to an abundance thought, add that to the hour. All that work that you're doing in, you know, meditating or saying affirmations or doing whatever process it is that you do personally for your own peace of mind and growth, that hour of inner work added up throughout the day is like you doing 7 hours of going out and hitting the pavement, typing up something, outer work.
Perfect, Christy.
Perfect, Christy.
That brings us down to like seconds of the show. Folks, thank you for being with Christy Whitman and myself today, Jeffrey Miller. We have had a pleasurable talk. I'm sure you have enjoyed it. I'd like you to follow up. Get in touch with Christy. All of her information, contact information is on the page today. Christy, it has been a blessing. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey. Thanks, everybody.
And we'll do this again.
Sounds good. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, folks, for being on the show today. And on behalf of the IAM Radio Network, the Interactive Media Network, and the Interactive Media Host, listen to us again in about two weeks
for our call with the Masters.
Today, we've had a wonderful call with Christy Whitman. That link will be up very shortly. Have a blessed day, everybody.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.